Chaitanya Bhagavat class, chapter 1, Madhya Kanda. Yesterday we heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or rather Vishambhar, was speaking with his former Sanskrit students, and he was starting to enlighten them on the science of Krishna consciousness. So he gave them a preliminary introduction by explaining Sambandha Gyan, the position of Ishvara Tattva, position of Krishna, how he is supreme. And then he explained something about Abhideya by saying that the ultimate process that's mentioned in the Vedas to attain spiritual perfection, and all the Vedas are actually describing this. This is the Abhideya. The ultimate process is actually bhakti. Even he said Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads and the Puranas are actually, if you study them properly and correctly, you will see the conclusion that bhakti is the ultimate teaching of all the Vedas. And then he explained that, and then he was, after completing this, he challenged the students, as he used to challenge before he was the proud scholar, Nimai Pandit. But now he was a Vaishnava. He had become transformed by Krishna mantra received in Gaya from Ishwarapuri. Now he's Vishambhar Bhakta. He was Bhakta Vishambhar, not Pandit Nimai or Nimai Pandit. He was Nimai Bhakta Nimai. And he was become a Parama Vaishnava. Srivas Thakur had glorified him when he met him. He said, now he's become a Parama Vaishnava, great devotee of the Lord. And everybody was so happy. So out of pride, now he again was proud, but not the arrogance of a proud scholar, but he was proud of Krishna, proud to be Krishna's devotee. So then he told his students, that's how he closed yesterday. He says, who in Navadvip has the power to refute my explanations? In other words, he's telling all the students, you go and you gather all the scholars and have them try to defeat my statements about bhakti, about sambandha, abhideya, prayojan, based on shastra. So now he's becoming the proud preacher. And that's all right. Our Prabhupada was also very proud, and because he was proud of Krishna. And he's very forceful. And he'll challenge anyone. Once in, I was 1970s or so, when Ridayananda Das Goswami, he was a bhakta, Bhakta Henry or something. And he was going to University of California, Berkeley, UCB. Big school of 40,000 students. It was huge. And when he was a bhakta, he used to go to the campus and he set up a small card table. It means a little 3 feet by 3 foot small table, folding table. And he put two chairs down. Then he made a cardboard sign and he wrote on it, unbeatable philosophy. Unbeatable philosophy. I challenge anyone. And he put the sign in front. He would sit in one chair, and people would come and look at the sign, and he'd say, sit down. Anybody, any Buddhist, any yogi, Mayavadi, any hippie, drug addict, anybody that had any kind of philosophy, Charvak Muni philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, Charvak Muni, any hedonist, any Mayavadi, anybody. He said, sit down, this is a bhakta. And he would chew them to pieces. He would rip them apart. He's so powerful. Of course, he went on. And when he joined ISKCON, he went on to study Sanskrit. And he got a PhD in Naya. PhD in Vyakaran, in logic and grammar. He's brilliant. Very brilliant person. And then he, on behalf of Prabhupada, he translated 10th, 11th, and 12th canto of Bhagavatam. Translated the Sanskrit and wrote the commentaries along with Gopi Pranadhan. So he's big vidvan. Big vidvan, scholar of ISKCON. So he was very proud, but he was, because he was convinced. Unbeatable philosophy, I challenge anyone. So Mahaprabhu, Vishambhar is saying the same thing. So Prabhupada is also like that. He challenged the scientists, he challenged the professors, he challenged the priests, and you see all the room conversations, he met everybody. And the first thing Prabhupada would say what was the first thing Prabhupada would ask whenever he met someone? Now I can understand how much you've listened to Prabhupada and how much you understand Prabhupada. What is the first question Prabhupada would ask? Not devotees. Whenever you meet these professors, what's the first question Prabhupada would ask him?
What is your philosophy of life?
Harivo! Thank you very much. I'm very happy. Did anyone hear that? Okay, then don't you keep quiet. What did he say?
What is your philosophy?
Huh? What? You heard what he said? No, everyone heard. Because that was an Akashvani. He said, Prabhupada would ask that professor, we heard from an Akashvani, aerial voice, what is your philosophy of life? Or even with something, what is your philosophy? Or sometimes disciples would come, Prabhupada, we just went to see Meher Baba. Meher Baba was big in New York in the 70s. Meher Baba. Meher Baba. There's so many Babas. He was M-E-H-E-R. M-E-H-E-R. Meher Baba. And so, Prabhupada, we met Meher Baba, and we went to his class. So then Prabhupada would say, what is his philosophy? As soon as Prabhupada met him, he said, what is his philosophy? Well, he says that you don't need any books. That God is within you. And he wrote a book. He wrote a book explaining how you don't need any books. Prabhupada said, this guy is bogus. How can you write a book and say you don't need any books? This guy is... So like this. So this is the point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this. So now, Vedavyas, who wrote this Chaitanya Bhagavad, he says, Param Brahma Vishwambara Shabda Murtimai Ye Shabda Jay Vakanena Sehi Satyahai. Vishwambara is the Supreme Brahman. Vishwambara is the name for Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya. He received this name during his Namkarana Samskara. Namkarana Samskara is the samskara which one, the child is awarded a name. First they cast the Janma Kundali, the Jyotish or the horoscope, and they see the planetary configurations, Tara and Grahan, planets and stars, and what type of yogas are there, Parivartan Yoga, Sannyasa Yoga, this yoga, that Vidya Yoga, so many yogas, Raj Yoga. And then they calculate on the basis of this chart, what type of swabhav does this person have? What is his swabhav or his mentality? And what type of activity will he do through his life? And what will he actually accomplish in his life? And based on that, this is traditionally, the Jyotish would recommend one or two names based specifically on his chart. So therefore, when you hear the names in Bhagavad Gita, Duryodhan, Duryodhan. Yodhan means fight, yudhya, and dur means bad fighter, dirty fighter. So this name was given as a baby. Babies don't fight, they suck on their mother's breast. That's all they do, and they go wham, 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 wham. That's it, boss, no fighting. So this was predicted. Just like there was one child born as the son of Uttara. Does anyone know his name?
Parikshit.
Does anyone? Yeah, Parikshit. Abhimanyu is the father. So Parikshit, he was given that name in his Namkarana Samskara because they saw the chart that this person will be an examiner. He'll be examining and searching and looking for something. Examining. So then he grew up and started examining. Are you Krishna? Who is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So in the same way, when Nimai Pandit or this child was born, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I think it was Nilambara Chakravarti, he was a relative of Satchimata, I believe. And then he cast the Janma Kundali, the horoscope. And he said, this person, according to the chart of this person, he will have such an effulgence and such a jyoti and prabhav, such an influence and effulgence, and he will disseminate such extensive knowledge that by his knowledge he will be able to maintain everyone in the universe. He will be able to nourish everyone with transcendental knowledge, nourish them and maintain them and sustain them. Because Vishwa means universe, and Ambara means cover, like Digambara, Vishwambara. So Vishambara means cover, Digambara means covered with the directions, Digambara, Shukadeva Goswami. So Vishwambara means covering the universe. Vishwambara means, I mean that's in general, but the actual word in Sanskrit means, Vishwambara means to nourish, to sustain. So he said, we recommend you give him the name Vishwambara. So he's given a name, Vishwambara. So here, he's saying he's Parabrahman, because he's God. He says, Supreme Brahman is the personification of transcendental sound. Shabda Murti Maya. He's Shabda Murti. Whatever he explains is the supreme truth. Vakanena Satyahai. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati's purport. Vishwambar, Sri Vishwambar, the Lord of the spiritual world and the maintainer and nourisher of the animate and inanimate worlds, is directly the supreme Brahman and personification of transcendental sound, Shabdamurti. Therefore, he, Vishwambar, is the husband of Saraswati, the goddess of transcendental knowledge. There's two Saraswatis. There's the expansion of Saraswati, who functions in the material world to give knowledge of mundane knowledge, material knowledge, knowledge of music, knowledge of singing, dancing, any knowledge, mathematics, biology, people, everyone in school worships Saraswati. So this is the mundane or the material expansion of the original, the Adi Saraswati. The Adi Saraswati is known as Dibya Saraswati. Dibya Saraswati is the Shakti of Narayan, Narayan Shakti. Narayan Shakti means she is the consort of Vishnu. She is transcendental, Satchidananda Vigraha. She has a spiritual body, and she is worshipped, and she bestows upon one transcendental knowledge, Dibya Gyan, Para Vidya, knowledge about transcendence, Krishna Tattva, Nam Tattva, Radha Tattva, this type of knowledge. So Vishwambar, who is that Narayan? He's a Sarva Avatari. All the Vishnu avatars are within him. He's the Purna Bhagavan. Purna Bhagavan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he obviously is the husband of Divya Saraswati, the goddess of transcendental knowledge. Any word that Lord Vishwambar explains through the eternal, pure, complete, eternally liberated, spiritual, and most important process is related to Krishna, is reality and the supreme truth. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying every word coming out of the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Vishwambar is perfect. It's absolute, irrefutable. So therefore, that's why he's saying, who has the power to refute? Lord Chaitanya is challenging. He's telling his students, I challenge you or ask anyone in this Navadvipa, who has the power to overturn my explanations of Krishna consciousness? Who has the power to defeat me? Obviously, no one. Because that's why he's called Ajit. God is known as Ajit, unconquerable. No one can conquer God, Ajit. So this God is speaking. I challenge anyone. Has anyone ever defeated God? No. Mohita Padhuya Sabha Shunaye Kaman Prabhu O Vivalahai Satyase Vakan. The students were captivated as they heard the Lord's explanations with undivided attention. They didn't have any cell phones. Shune ek man. So this is Shishya Lakshana. This is Shishya Gun. The quality or characteristic of a Shishya. Mahaprabhu is a guru. And his students are Shishya. In Bengali they say Paduya. Paduya. Paduya means those that are studying the pad. Pad duya means pad. Lines of Sanskrit are called pad. Pad. And means feet also. They're at the feet of the guru to learn the pad. Each line of a Sanskrit shloka is called a pad. Char pad, do pad. So they're paduya. So they're hearing ek. What does it say? Shune ek man. One mind. Not one mind on the class and one mind. Oh, I'm expecting a call. Where's my cell? I'm getting a call. I better put my phone on silent. When I get that call, I can run out of the class and talk on the phone. Of course, we have emergencies. We have things to do. But here, this means you can hear. In other words, if you want to hear something, then you have to have one mind. Why is that? Because the mind, although thousands and thousands of thoughts come through the mind moment by moment, and thousands of desires. I want this, and I want that, and I need this, and I need that, and I could do this, and I could do that, and I can go here, and I can go there. And next hour I'll do this, and later on this afternoon I'm going to do this, and tomorrow morning I'm going to do that, and yesterday I did this. So many thoughts and desires. But actually, although they're flooding the mind like waves on the ocean, if you want to put your attention somewhere, the mind can only focus on one thing at a time. And actually, the mind only has the ability to focus on one thing at a time. So if someone is actually reading, and then if you focus all your concentration, you concentrate completely, then you can really hear. So the mind, ekman means the mind should be fully absorbed in the hearing. Well, that's what chanting is. That's why we have so much difficulty in chanting, because we're many minds. Our mind is split. Something with the nam and something with chasing the different thoughts and desires. It's a very nice quality. Shuna ekman. The Lord also became overwhelmed while he explained the truth. Vival. Vival means overwhelmed. Satyavakane. Sahaje shabda matre krishna satyakahe ishvara jeva kanibe kichu chitranahi. Every word inherently establishes Krishna as the supreme truth. So there is no wonder that the Lord should explain in this way. So when previously it was told that when Vishambhar was teaching the students any sutras or aphorisms, every sutra he taught them, every aphorism, he explained Krishna. He says, this means Krishna, this means that means Krishna, everything means Krishna. Siddhanta Saraswati's purport. Any word that is manifested from the pure spiritual sky and received by the eternally pure sense of hearing, smeared with the ointment of love, is certainly non-different from the eternal primeval absolute truth, Krishna. Therefore, it is not very wonderful or astonishing that the Supreme Lord, Sri Vishambhar, who is devoid of the four defects of mistakes, illusion, cheating, and imperfection that are found in us, will explain the meaning of every word through the eternal, pure, complete, eternally liberated spiritual process of direct understanding. It's quite an eloquent purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I'll go on. Shaneke haila bhaya drishti vishambhar lajita haya kichu kahaye utar. After a while, Vishambhar regained his external consciousness. That's bhaya drishti. He started to see externally. Feeling somewhat embarrassed, he began to inquire. Because the whole time that he was speaking to his students and so-called, and his told, his Sanskrit school or told, he was absorbed in internal consciousness. He was just absorbed in Krishna. And he wasn't really so much aware of what he was saying. It's explained that after receiving guidance from Narada Muni as to how to solve his problem of despondency over writing so many literatures of the Vedas, and Vyasadeva, he understood that I should write the glories of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what Narada Muni told him. He should glorify the Supreme Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. So in order to fulfill that wish and to fulfill that desire, Vyasadeva, he went into meditation. He went deep into meditation on Radha and Krishna, on Krishna and Vrindavan. And then as he was in deep meditation, there are different states of meditation. There's dharana, Then there's Dhyan, Dhruvana Smriti. Then there's Samadhi. Samadhi, Samadhi. It's complete absorption, Samadhi. The entire intelligence, the whole D, the complete intelligence is fixed on one point, on one subject, on one idea, on one personality. So he entered into Samadhi. Vyasadeva entered into Samadhi. And the Acharyas, they comment on the Srimad Bhagavatam. They say that the Srimad Bhagavatam is Samadhi Bhashya. Samadhi Bhashya. It is the commentary of the entire Vedas written by Srila Vyasadeva while he was in Samadhi. Samadhi Bhashya. We have Govinda Bhashya, which is Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. But only Vyasadeva's commentary is called Samadhi Bhashya. He was actually in Samadhi, and his hand was moving. Actually, his hand wasn't moving. Whose hand was moving? Ganapati. Because someone might say, well, why didn't he write it himself? Because he couldn't write. When you're in Samadhi, your senses are not functioning. Your external senses. That's why he says here, Bhaya Drishti. Bhaya Drishti means Bha. Bhaya means external. Drishti means seeing externally. Drishti. Bhaya Darshan. Seeing external. That means your external senses are working. Your external eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your hands. It's called Bhaya Drishti. Chit. Your consciousness is functioning externally. But his consciousness was antachit. He was an internal consciousness in samadhi. This is all completely... he was apparently inert. It's called avastachitta. In avastachitta, he was apparently inert. His chitta was absorbed and he was in samadhi. And then he was speaking. So actually, Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam the same way Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, in later days, he wrote the Bhagavatam by speaking into a dictaphone. He didn't write with his hand. And in the same way, it's often told by his followers, or he told himself, he said, Prabhupada would often say, well, sometimes Prabhupada will be seen reading his own books, reading the fifth canto or reading the Krishna book. And once a disciple met Prabhupada, a guru bhai, godbrother, and he said, Prabhupada, you're reading the Krishna book. You wrote the book and you published the book. I thought the book was for us. You're also reading? Prabhupada said, yes, I'm also reading the book. I'm relishing it. But Prabhupada, you wrote the book. No, I didn't write this book. Krishna wrote this book. Krishna's writing this book. And then another time Prabhupada said, these purports, these Bhaktivedanta purports, are actually expressions of my devotional ecstasy. Bhav. Bhav means ecstasy. Yavachari Bhav, Sattvic Bhavs. So these purports are expressions of my devotional ecstasies. Bhaktivedanta Bhav. Bhaktivedanta Bhav Bhashya or Bhaktivedanta Bhav Tika. It's Tika. Tika means commentary. Purport. We say, Prabhupada says, purport. Commentary. Tika. So this is Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta Bhava Tika. And we say, Sanatana Goswami wrote a commentary on the Bhagavatam called Dig Darshani Tika. Dig Darshani Tika. Darshan means to see. Dig means directions. To see the Bhagavatam from different directions, which is what Prabhupada told us. We should study the Bhagavatam from different angles of vision. We should study each verse from different angles of vision and try to explain. As I explained, there's three basic angles. The external, the subtle, and the transcendental. So this is drishti. So therefore, he says, dig darshani tika. Very interesting. The looking at, or the philosophy from, darshan also means philosophy, seeing, or the philosophy from different directions. So Prabhupada's tikas, although they're not officially named, but we could give them a name today. The Bhaktivedanta Bhava Tikas. of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's tikkas in Bhagavatam are called Bhaktivedanta. Bhaktivedanta Bhav. The Bhav of Bhaktivedanta. So therefore, as Prabhupada was not writing with his hands, he was speaking. He was speaking, and it was being recorded by a dictaphone, which is a type of tape recorder, because he also was in samadhi. Because bhav is samadhi, you're absorbed. So Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, his commentaries in Bhagavatam, they're also samadhi bhashya. Because the acharyas are saying that Vyasadeva, he wrote the Bhagavatam, the original Bhagavatam, or he spoke it while he was in samadhi bhashya. And he wasn't writing either. He also had a dictaphone. So the first dictaphone that was ever used was used by Vyasadeva. It was called Ganesh Dictaphones. Ganesh Computer Company. And that computer also had one mouse. In a computer, you have a mouse, no? You know the mouse? So Ganesh also has one. So Ganesh Computer also has one mouse. Is that right? So actually, Vyasadeva, he was speaking into a computer. So he was even more advanced than Prabhupada. Prabhupada spoke into a dictaphone. There were no computers in 1960, 65. There's only these little dictaphones. So just see that this speaking, using of a dictaphone or computer to speak Bhagavatam started 5,000 years ago with Vyasadeva. Ganesh Computers. And the mouse was there. Ganesh was sitting on the mouse. It's like a joke, no? So, but the point is that Vyasa was in Samadhi Bhashya. And while he was in this Samadhi, he's speaking. Janmad yasya yataha dharma prochitikaita vocha paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Right? And then Ganesh is recording in the dictaphone and moving his mouse here and there. This is just some side point. So that's what's being said here, that Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, when the incarnation of transcendental knowledge came, directly, not as Veda Vyas, but as Radha and Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also went into samadhi, antardrishti, internal consciousness. And now, in this verse, He asked. He says, when he came to external consciousness, he felt somewhat embarrassed, and he began to ask his students, "Ajiyami kemata se sutra vakanilun paduyasa kalabhale kichuna bojilan." Vishwambar asked his students, "How is my explanation of the sutras today?" This means the Sanskrit sutras. When you study Sanskrit, Vyakaran, grammar, you have to study all these sutras, which are explaining so many principles and points about sandhi and combination and words and akshara and all these things. This is the system. The students replied, "We have not understood anything." I remember in the West when we preach sometimes, trying to explain someone the basic difference between the body and the soul. So really, you're not the body. Inside the body is the soul, the Atma. Then this body is a shell. And then the person would reply by saying, "What are you saying? What you say, man? I am my body. All I know is I'm my body. This is me, man. There's nothing more than this. What are you saying that I'm not the body? You're talking crazy talk. You're talking crazy. I don't know what you're talking. I got to get away from you. I might get that disease. Let me out of here." So then they run away, thinking you're speaking crazy because you're trying to explain the difference, you know, Atma Tattva. There's some truth beyond the body. There's something eternal. You. You are eternal. So the students are saying, "We haven't understood anything." Then they went on. Jata kichu shabde vakanaha vakana krishna matra bujite tamara vyakya keva achip Ache Patra, you explain every word simply in relationship with Krishna. So who is the proper candidate for understanding your explanations? Hasi Bale Vishambar Shuna Sababhai Punti Bhanda Hajichala Gangasnane Gangasnane Jai. Vishambar smiled. Hasi. Hasi Bali. Listen, brothers. Again, he's calling his students brothers. Now he's become so intimate. Because when bhakti comes in the heart, one becomes very intimate with all the jivas. Becomes intimate with the dogs. Hey, brother dog. We see in the life of Saint Francis of Assisi. He lived in a place in Italy called Assisi. I think it was Italy. He was a very broad-minded saint. He could see that God is the supreme father. He understood and realized that God is the father. He is the supreme father of everyone. And everyone and everything, they're all children. They're all his children. They're all his creations. The tree is a son of God. The dog is a son of God. The cloud, everyone. And he being the father, and I am also the son of God, that means everything in creation is my brother. So he used to say, oh, brother sky, oh, brother tree, oh, brother, oh, bhai, oh, bhai, oh, bhai. So he had good a deal of bhakti. He had some bhakti there, some devotion. So he got this knowledge. And he was very detached also. He's a very renounced person, living in a forest with some fruits. Very detached. So this is the point. When one has bhakti, then he can see that shuna sabhabai, that everyone's my brother, everyone's my friend. So Mahaprabhu was no longer thinking. Before he was thinking, you're the students, you're the shishyagan, you're the group of students, and you're the vidyarthi, me adhyapak, ap vidyarthi, hey, me vid, me adhyapak, hun. Now he said, hey, he said, listen, okay, listen, brothers, pack up your books today. Let's go to the Ganga. Haribo! Forget about it. You didn't understand anything? Fine. Close the books. Let's jump in the Ganga. Haribo! Let's go to Radhakund. Let's splash in the Ganga. Ganga Snan. Chalo! Very, very intimate teacher. Very intimate. He wasn't defending himself. Why didn't you understand? I explained everything clearly. Why didn't you understand? Weren't you listening? You're listening to your cell phone, you stupid? He didn't say anything like that. Okay, cool. You didn't understand anything? You didn't understand anything? Oh, that's great. Okay, let's go. Let's take a bath. Forget about it. Let's go. Let's go take a bath. Very beautiful teacher. Sweet teacher. Loving teacher. He didn't say, okay, you didn't understand anything? All right, get out of here, you dunce caps. Bandila pushtaka sabe prabhura vachan ganga snane chalilena vishwambara san. Being instructed by the Lord, the students packed up their books and went with him to bathe in Ganga. I mean, that's intimate. Usually teachers and students, they don't fool around together. Unless it's some young girl and young teacher, young guy. But this is very intimate. God's bathing with the students. Ganga jale keli kari prabhu vishwambar samudra maje jena purna shashadhar. As Vishwambar sported in the Ganga, it appeared that the full moon was arising from the middle of the ocean. Purna shashadhar. Shashadhar. Shashadhar is a poetic way of describing the moon. Shashadhar. Purna shashadhar means full moon. Samudra maje. So he didn't take one of these type of snans in the Ganga, an honorary snan. This is Kali. Ganga Jale Kali. Jal Kali. Jal Kali. This is going on. This is Nityalila, Jal Kali. Every day in Radhakund, Madhyan Kal, Radhaji and Shamsundar and Vishaka and Lalita and Tungavidya and Sudevi and Rangadevi and Champak and Chitra. And all the Sakis and Mandris, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri, everyone, they meet together at Radhakund. And at 2:20 in the afternoon, they all get into their bathing outfits and they go into Radhakund and bathe. And then they engage in Jal Keli, splashing water on who? On Krishna. They say, okay, let's have a duel. Krishna, you against all of us. One against thousands. All right, come on. I'm standing here bearing my chest. Now, I challenge you. Do the same. He stands like so proud. Then they bombard them with a barrage and deluge of Radhakund Jal, Prem Jal. Of course, they do defeat him. Powerful army. And he has to cry out, "Uncle, uncle, uncle. I'm defeated, defeated. I'm defeated, I'm defeated. Stop, stop. Enough, enough, enough. Stop." So then Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela, Eki Leela. Eki Leela. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nahayanya. This is two banks of one river. The river is Prem Leela. One bank is Gaur Leela. One bank is Radha Krishna Leela. Sometimes the river is flooding this bank. Sometimes it's flooding that bank. The river is always flowing. The river of Leela is always flowing. So Gaur Leela, they're having Jalkeli. Radha Krishna Leela, they're having Jalkeli. They're having Jula and Jalkeli, Banbihar, Ras, everything same. And with a different flavor. One is Madhurya Ras, and the other is Audarya Ras. It's a flavor. But it's all Prem Ras. Gauranga Prem, Sangha. And Radha Krishna Prem Sangha. Too much, this book is wonderful, isn't it? Ganga Jale Keli Kare Vishwambhararai Paramasukriti Sabadeka Nadijai. Vishwambhara, sporting in the waters of Ganga, was seen by the most pious inhabitants of Nadia. Paramasukriti Sabadeke Nadia. The Nadiavasis, so that means there are different categories of Nadiavasis. Some are, a lot of them, most of them are Shaktas. At that time and even at this time, most of the people in Bengal are worshippers of Durga. Kali Bhairava. Kali Bhairava. Kali, goddess Kali, Ma. Oh Ma, oh Ma, please help me, Ma. Oh, Kali. Durga Ma, Kali, the benevolent one, the nourisher, the provider. Right, Kali. So they could not see this Prem Leela, this Jalkeli Leela. They had Sukriti, no doubt. They were pious. They were living in a holy dham. Maybe Brahman, so they had Sukriti, but they didn't have Parama Sukriti. Parama Sukriti Sabadeki. So there has to be some Adhikar. Seeing Krishna requires Adhikar. So it's told also in Srimad Bhagavatam in 10th canto, describing the coward boys, chapter 12. I believe it's chapter 12. It says that the coward boys who had the opportunity, these are coming from these were sadhana siddhas. Those coward boys, those gopas and gwals, they became perfect and entered Krishna's lila. Krita punya punja. Krita punya, the phrase is there, krita punya punja. That they had accumulated heaps and heaps, mountains of pious activities. They had done so much bhakti sukriti. It's called bhakti sukriti. They had done so much bhakti, so much devotion in previous lives. They got the opportunity to take birth in Boma Vrindavan during Krishna's prakat lila. And enter his pastimes and their sarup, siddhadeha, sarup siddhi as gopas, that's described. So here they also had parama sukriti. Brahmadira abhilasha jay rupa dekite hena prabhu viparupe kele sajalete. The same Lord that personalities such as Brahma desire to see was now sporting in the water in the form of a brahmana. This lila is eternal, nitya lila. This is going on in Boma Navadvip 500 years ago, but it's also going on now in Nitya Navadvip. That Mahaprabhu and all of his associates, they're all Kishore Brahmins. They're all eternal Brahmins, Nitya Kishore. They're all 12, 11, 12, 13, 14, like this, maximum 15 years old. Gadadhar Pandit, Jagannanda Pandit, Swarup Damodar, Rai Ramanand, they're all together in Gaur Leela, in their surup, in their spiritual forms, sporting with Gauranga in his Astikali Leela. Ganga Ghatte Snanakare Jatta Savajan Savecha Hina Gora Chandrera Vandan. All those persons who were taking bath at the bathing ghats of the Ganga gazed at the face of Gora Chandra. Ganga Gate Snana Kare Jata Savajan Gora Chandra Vadan. Gaurachandra Vadan, the face, the beautiful moon-like face of Gauranga Vadan, Vadana. They were gazing. So this is called this. All these types of scenes that are painted, rather depicted here in these pages of the Bhagavatam, these scenes should be painted on our hearts. These scenes should be painted on our hearts because our spiritual heart has two chambers. Our material heart has four chambers. Right auricle, right ventricle, left ventricle. But our spiritual heart has two chambers. Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila. So on the walls of our heart that is tuned to Gaur Lila, we should paint these scenes. On the walls of our heart that is tuned to Krishna's Lila, we should paint the scenes of Radha and Krishna's Lila. So this scene that, because sometimes we go to Mayapur, Navadvip, and we bathe in the Ghat. We bathe in the bathing Ghat. The Iskan Ghat, whatever they call it. Then we're in the water, we can look back and say, oh, all the people were at the bathing Ghat. And they're looking into the water and they were seeing Mahaprabhu splashing water with all his students and how they were appreciating the full moon of his face and Gaurachandra's face and how unfortunate I was that I wasn't one of those people in the bathing Ghat. Or what, now I'm in the water, I'm with my friends, but I could have been one of those students. It was only a moment ago. And like this, this is called Rasodgar. Rasodgar means remembering the pastimes of the Lord. And by remembering the pastimes of the Lord with a mood of love and a mood of seva, a loving mood and a mood of seva, it creates deep impressions of separation. Oh, why wasn't I there? Why wasn't I there? Where was I? Where was I and where was he? It's 500 years ago, I was also living here. I was also living here on this planet. You were all living here 500 years ago. But we weren't in Gaur Lila. What happened? We took a wrong turn somewhere. We were living in Moscow. We were living in Leningrad. We were living in St. Petersburg. We were living in Delhi or Ahmedabad or Gwalior. Maybe. Anyonye sarvajane kahaye vachan danyamata pita janra ehina nandan. The people at the bathing Ghat observing Gaurachand and his Jalkeli, they said to one another, glorious are the father and mother of such a son. In other words, wow. Whoever is mother and father, boy, they're lucky. They're glorious. Sarvajan kahevachan. Danya matapita. They're glory, glory. Danya means they're wealthy also. Danya means they're wealthy. They're rich. If you have a son, if God is your son, that means you're really wealthy. You're really fortunate. You're really glorious. Gangara bhadila prabhu parasheulas anande karina devi taranga prakash. Being touched by the Lord, goddess Ganga became joyful. Prabhu parashe ulas. And out of delight, she manifested her agitation in waves. Taranga prakash. Ananda karina devi. That devi, Ganga devi. Because if a man touches a woman, then she may get excited. Or if a woman touches a man, he may get excited. Generally, it happens that way. So here, this Vrindavan Das Thakur is trying to show how Prem Purushottam is distributing Prem. Prem Purushottam is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Gaurachandra. And he's distributing Prem. Prem is love. Prem is feelings. Prem is response. Prem is all kinds of emotions arise from contacting Prem. So Prem Purushottam, when he's contacting Ganga, he's interacting with the Ganga. In one sense, Ganga is water. It's an element, Panchabhut, one of the elements of this world, Panchabhuta. But at the same time, she has a personified form because all elements and all energy has a personified form. There's fire, which is an element, but there's a personified form, Agni Murti, The Murti of fire is Agnidev. The Murti of Ganga is Gangadevi. It's a Devi. The rivers are female. So they all have their personality. So in the same way, when Gauranga was in the Jarikan forest, then he distributed love to the tigers and to the deer. And the tigers are crying. Tears are coming out of their eyes. This is Saptik Vikara, a transformation of ecstasy, Premashu. So the tigers, he was giving love to the tigers, giving love to the monkeys, giving love to the deer, giving love to the trees. When he embraced the trees in South India and they got liberated, seven coconut trees. There were the Saptarishis. They had appeared as Nariyal, Briksh, and he embraced them and he liberated them. He gave them Prem by his embrace, Premalingata. So now he's in Ganga. So just by his touch, by touching his Prem-filled body, his body implores and glances. His glance is emanating prema. His words are emanating prema. His touch and body are emanating prema. So when Ganga felt and touched the transcendental prema-filled body of Mahaprabhu, she became full of love. She became full of Krishna prema. And when one feels, when that prema contacts one in a big way or contacts one, then one feels ulas. Ulas anand. So ulas means a rising of ecstasy. Ulas means rising, to go up, to feel excited, to get excited. Ulas. She felt blissful, but then she got excited. And then so when you get excited, you may tremble. If you're excited, you're fearful, you may tremble out of fear. Your lips may quiver. Sometimes your lip quivering means they're moving. You're trembling. Your upper lip, especially that's an erotic dealing, sometimes the upper lip is also trembling, moving. And then hair standing on end. So this is an exchange of love between Shakti and Shaktiman, Purusha and Prakriti. The Purusha is Bhagavan, Gauranga. And the Prakriti is Gangadevi. She's female, she's Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti. Shakti and Shaktiman. She's a Shakti. She's a Shakti of Gauranga. So then she's experiencing this loving embrace. And by experiencing love, then she's responding. By her body's trembling, but her body is trembling, and her body now, her body is the form of this water, the Ganga Jal. So when the water trembles, it appears as waves, Taranga Prakash. So when the river was the body of Ganga Devi, when she's experiencing the love of Gauranga, she responds and reacts by trembling. Her body's trembling out of love. And so that trembling takes the shape of Taranga. Taranga means waves. So it says that she manifested her agitation in waves. Just like our hearts are agitated, we manifest the agitation of our heart by maybe crying, or maybe hair standing in, maybe trembling, lip quivering. So this is all different aspects of rasa here. This is vibhav, ashraya and alamban. As Vibhav is here, then Anubhav, Saptik Bhavs, Vyavachari Bhavs, different aspects of Ras, Bhakti Ras, is in this one verse, is there. Hare Krishna. Tarangera chale nirtya karaina Janavi, Ananta Brahmanda Janrapada Juge Sevi. Janavi, who's the Ganga, danced in the form of waves to worship the Lord, whose feet are served by innumerable universes. What an incredible way of seeing things. What a way to describe how everyone, you can say in English, everyone in the universe is serving God. Everyone in the universe, knowingly or unknowingly, is serving Gauranga. So that's English. It's quite drab, boring, dry. If we look at it in Bengali, which is practically Sanskrit, Ananta Brahmanda. Ananta Brahmanda, Pada Yuge Sevi. Ananta Brahmanda. Brahmanda means universe. Ananta means unlimited. Infinite, unlimited universe is Pada Yuga Sevi. Sevi. That Pada Yuga. Yuga. Yuga means his 2 feet. Pada Yuga. Pada Yuga Sevi. Everyone in the universe is serving his feet. Pada Yuga Sevi. Chatur Dike Prabhure Bediya Jano Sutta Tarangera Chale Jala Dehi Alakshita. The daughter of Janu encircled the Lord on all sides and showered him with her waters while remaining unseen. So she's expressing different aspects of ecstasy. She's crying, she's trembling. So now she's doing seva, unseen. Because love is a private affair. Loving exchange is a private affair. We don't go out in the public and have our loving, confidential loving exchanges. So it's unseen. Alakshita. Vede matrae sabha lilara marmajane kichu sheshe vyakta habe sakala purane. The purport of these pastimes are known only to the Vedas. But later, some of these pastimes will be revealed by the Puranas. Snanakari grihe alena vishambar. Chalila paduya varga jata janragar. This is the last verse. After completing their bath, Vishambar and his students return to their own homes. So when you chant japa, you can think of, remember, recall this pastime from Gaur Lila, Lord Chaitanya's Jalkeli and the Ganga Devi's meeting the Lord and serving the Lord, and the people on the bathing ghat looking at them and admiring their beauty of Gaurachandra's face. And try to remember that scene. It's called Lila Smaran when you chant japa. And it's very, very, very conducive to absorbing ourselves in japa.